What's good? We are back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pigott, host of the Paul Pigott Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast. Your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video. It's titled "How Record Labels Make More Money Off of Rappers When They Are Dead." I know it's fucked up, but it's the truth. And if you're sensitive to the truth, then this isn't the podcast for you. Before we get into that, though, I want to give you a word from promopalace.biz.
Looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promopalace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pool promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You heard a beautiful lady. If you need online marketing promotions for your music, product, brand, or service, please go to promopalace.biz. Get 15% off music promo at promopalace.biz. Use coupon code Labor Day 2023 in the checkout. And that will work on all products and all services at promopalace.biz. All right, let's get into it.
Sales rose by 487%. And for Mac Miller, that number was up to 970%.
970%. There's no way in hell you can convince me that people who are a part of these record labels are not looking at this and saying, well, isn't that interesting?
D-I-Y.
It is unfortunate that we're at a place in time in hip hop where even the subject of death feels like the content of somebody's video game. I don't treat it like that. I look at this, and the first thing I think about when I see rapper death is families, beyond fans, beyond what they represent with their music. And it hasn't always been like that. I think as a fan, the first thing you think about is your own fandom of some of these artists. But the older I get, the more my responsibilities change. One is being a father, as a being a husband. The more you start to think about these folks being breadwinners, these folks being support systems for families. With that said, the name of the video is Why Labels Want Your Favorite.
Before he goes further, first thing I think about is culture problem. That's what I think. I think about culture problem when I think about all these rappers dying from overdoses and getting murdered.
Rapper's dead. This video is quite disturbing.
It's astonishing to see the long list of rappers who have passed away in recent years. I would read that list, but honestly, it's just way too long. Whereas the deaths of Tupac and Biggie scarred an entire generation of hip-hop fans, today's consumers are so used to seeing their heroes either gunned down or dying from substance abuse. Like the hip-hop vet Jim Jones said, we have more rappers getting killed than we have weeks in a year. Being a rapper in today's society is definitely the most dangerous job in the world.
Now, if you would have said that 10 years ago, that might have sounded like a really ridiculous statement, that being a rapper is the most dangerous job in the world. There's literally a TV show I want to see on TLC or one of these channels that talks about the most dangerous jobs around the world. But when you really give that statement some thought, part of what makes you successful in this field as a rapper is your visibility. Part of what looks like success is you pretty much wearing what appears to be your wealth. That's also the same thing that puts a target on your back. We're not even talking about if you're a rapper that talks about violence or you say things that may attract that kind of energy to you, but your literal job description puts a target on your back. One may even argue that the bigger the target, the better you are at your job.
Considering,
and let me chime in, it's not one of the most dangerous jobs, like, you know, working in, like, one of those guys that's building the buildings with a, you're on a steel beam and the beams fall down, or it's not as dangerous as, like, maybe being a pilot where a plane could crash in that sense. But, like he said, it's dangerous where you always got a target on your back for somebody to try to rob you and kill you. But you don't necessarily get hurt on the job rapid, you know, like you're not going to get grease on you. You're not going to have a whole crate fall on you like people at a stockyard and whatnot. a shipyard where a whole crate will fall on somebody, you know what I'm saying, break your whole leg and whatnot. But I would say being a rapper has to be probably up there with some of the most dangerous jobs.
How unsafe it is out there. You would think that record labels would be taking steps to save these young artists from prematurely passing. But some rappers believe this is exactly what they want, as when a rapper dies, their sales explode. Seriously, I can't believe I'm saying this, but as horrible as it sounds, there's tons of evidence to back this up.
But the truth of the matter when it comes to hip-hop, in my opinion, is like, we gotta stop pretending we care about these people and we care about these kids. This is a business. They want to use you and destroy you and get your money. And it's better for their business if you're dead. That's why they put out albums after you died. If they cared about you as an artist, they wouldn't do that.
Shout out Vince Staples. We just recently did a video about him.
Somebody gonna have to tell the truth, and I'm gonna tell it.
I don't know how many of you question it, but I've always questioned the work that comes out after an artist has passed away. I wonder how much of it was actually okay to go out. I think the first time I started paying attention to it was probably after Pac's death, and they talked about all the music that he had recorded in a short window of time after he was released from prison. With that said, though, I was younger and just thinking about shallow things like, I wonder what all the music sounded like. The more that I start to look at it from the point of view of an artist, like I'm an artist myself, man, imagine somebody digging through my folder of beats that I never wanted to finish, or songs that really were meant to be scratch ideas, and because I was signed to a company or signed to a label, they're able to just comb through that and squeeze whatever juice they can left out of that and make as much money as they would like through that. It definitely, at the very least, seems like a very insensitive way to monetize off of an artist that has passed away.
And let me chime in. When it happened with Pac, at the time, most people were thinking like, oh, they're just trying to keep Pac's memory alive and this, that, and the third. But no, they realized they had a they could capitalize majorly. You know, they it was all about this. It's all about the money.
Every time that a rapper dies, the streaming numbers of their existing catalogs boom. For example, after PnB Rock was tragically shot and killed in 2022, his numbers shot up 652%.
PnB Rock, rest in peace, PnB Rock. Unfortunately, was gunned down here in...
Before he finished, think about that. So you're getting like a million streams per month before you die, and it goes up 650%, I think it said. So his streams went up basically to like 6.5 million a month. What did Biggie say? You know, buddies, if somebody kills you.
Southern California, there was an increase of 652% of people looking into streaming his music. Now, there may be many reasons why people do that. Some people are just reminded, oh man, that was a song that I listened to. Or maybe it's diehard fans that are saying, man, I gotta stream this. And a lot of folks are just being nosy and wanting to see now what this artist was about, even though they weren't checking for them when they were alive. But 652% is a pretty crazy number. One might believe that's too crazy of a number for a label to ignore. Because I imagine the ripple effect is merchandise going up and other sales of things that maybe otherwise weren't doing those numbers.
100% is too much for a label to ignore. When you can go from 1 million to 2 million like that, you could double your listeners or consumers or profits like that. Yeah, who's not going to do it?
His song Selfish also re-entered the charts at number 17, wow, making it his first appearance on the charts in over 3 years. This track was also released by Atlantic Records, which is the same label that PnB Rock had been at odds.
So his song was out of the charts for 3 years, and when he died, it went back into the charts because it started streaming so much.
With for years over an unfair deal.
If I am at odds with a record label and we have not resolved those, Under what circumstances does that record label then feel like it is okay for them to then conduct my business? We have unresolved issues.
Similarly, when XXXTentacion and Pop Smoke lost their respective lives, their numbers were equally insane. For X, he broke Taylor Swift's one-day streaming record, while Pop Smoke's numbers rose by 400%. As the news of Juice WRLD's passing hit, sales rose by 487%. And for Mac Miller, that number was up to 970%.
970%. Without accusing anyone of anything, these numbers, as ridiculous as they are, there's no way in hell you can convince me that people who are a part of these record makers, the ones who are decision makers, are not looking at this and saying, well, isn't that interesting? An artist that you've...
That's almost 1,000% increase. Now, we just started Live from Vietnam podcast, which actually new episode launches tonight on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, and Twitter. Check us out, Live from Vietnam. I mean, we had an increase, you know, from 1 month to the next of 999% increase, but we're just getting started. We're just getting started. You know, somebody who's established like that and it dies and has almost 1,000% increase. That means if they had 1 million listeners, they when they died, their listeners went up to 9.7 million. It's crazy.
You as an investment, for whatever reason, is not selling like they once did, generating the income they once did when they were first signed. For somebody that's on some diabolical shit, man, maybe this is one last way to cash out on this brand. As ridiculous as that may sound for somebody, you can't ignore that. Because look at these numbers. 970% increase after Mac Miller's death. That is wild.
All of this is absurd when you consider how popular they already were to begin with. So you can see why it's so profitable.
Did I not just say that? It's one thing when we're a new podcast and we might got like, you know, a few thousand views the first month, and then we go up to a 999% increase. You know, we got about like 28,000 in the last 30 days. But you're talking about the guys who already had millions of listeners getting almost 1,000% increase. Wow, Mac Miller was so huge.
Profitable for labels to have your favorite rappers killed.
You know what doesn't often get talked about either? The business of putting these artists as the face of playlist after they pass away, or putting their face on a billboard that is at the top of these streaming websites. I wish we could see the stats of how much this increase in percentage in terms of their streams going up is attributed to their face and a RIP being front and center on every streaming platform, if not just Spotify alone. Because if that's the case, I hate to say it, as insensitive as it may sound, it sounds like it's part of a rollout plan. Shit is sick, bro.
It just seems like a tasteless cash grab if they're releasing something the artist never got the chance to veto. Like they're using them for name recognition, which already kind of sucks, but exponentially more so when they're dead.
If these labels pose these deals as partnerships, in what business, in what industry is it okay for you to move forward or with plans that you never got to discuss with your partner? Because I never see anyone from the label or anyone release news or information that these artists okayed them. If I'm in a partnership with you and I respect you as a partner, your opinion matters. No matter if I'm the investor, we're in a partnership. So to see how aggressive they move forward without the okay from obviously their deceased partner, or even doing things in good faith by working with the producers or maybe their family estate.
Shockingly, 7 of the artists in the top 10 most streamed albums on Spotify are all dead.
Let's run that
7
back.
Of the top albums that sit right now,
dead.
If these labels pose these deals as partnerships, in what business, in what industry is it okay for you to move forward with plans that you never got to discuss with your partner? Because I never see anyone from the label or anyone release news or information that these artists okayed them. If I'm in a partnership with you and I respect you as a partner, your opinion matters. No matter if I'm the investor, we're in a partnership. So to see how aggressive they move forward without the okay from obviously the deceased partner, or even doing things in good faith by working with the producers or maybe their family estate.
Shockingly, 7 of the artists in the top 10 most streamed albums on Spotify are all dead.
Wow. 7 of the top 10 most streamed albums on Spotify are all dead. That's 70%. I mean, who's the other 3?
7 of the top albums that sit right now, respectively, at the top of the hip-hop albums on Spotify are deceased. So those percentages that you saw, they weren't just initial bumps that happened after they passed away. These projects have remained at the top of the list.
Horrifying as it may be, death in hip-hop sells, and unless you're King Von, Nipsey Hussle, or Young Dolph, who all famously refused to sign to major labels and held on to their masters, a lot of those profits aren't necessarily going to your grieving family member. When a label signs an artist, by nature, it is a financial transaction. For the most part, labels aren't necessarily there to provide guidance, but instead, they're there to promote you for their own ends. The only thing that...
Let me stop real quick. I don't know if I like the idea of somebody's family making money off of them while they're dead either. How's that any different than the labels? Did you know, they agree that you can make money off of them while they're dead? I mean, we don't know that. Really don't.
That an artist gets is money and fame, and that's if they survive. After all, most of the time, they've got your publishing rights and masters in exchange for giving you a massive audience, leaving you in debt to them until they recoup. So while it is undeniable that they want to protect their investment, that doesn't necessarily mean that their top priority is the person creating the output. The investment for them is the music and holding the copyright and licensing rights. But the industry's honesty about their view has never been clearer than what's known as the death clause, which is found in contracts that are signed by artists. Let's see how this works by taking a look at the one Kurt Cobain contract with Nirvana. According to the documents, it says that the company shall have the right to secure insurance equivalent to 10 times the estimated value of the artist's earnings from any source of revenue.
This death clause says companies shall have the right to secure insurance equivalent 10 times the estimated value of the artist's earnings from any source of revenue.
In Cobain's case, where he, quote, shot himself, that amounted to several billion dollars. French Montana explored the prominence of these life insurance policies on Academics' Off the Record podcast.
But now it's even crazier because
really?
they're getting life insurance on artists. At least back then we didn't have that.
Is a label signing an artist in good faith if you're taking a life insurance out of them?
No, you're praying on his death. You're praying on making millions on his death.
Why would someone who obviously doesn't respect you enough to honor whatever wishes you may have before you pass away, who already knows the risk of signing you, but yet does not hesitate to allow you to speak about whatever topics may come to mind, right? We've even done stories where Meek Mill has said that some execs encourage a certain topic or encourage a certain amount of violence within the music. How is it that you can market it, you can push it, but then also save your own ass by putting a clause in a contract that says, if things get a little bit too dicey, we need to make sure that we can still make 10 times your earnings, no matter the source those earnings come from. There's no way that you could do that in good faith. His words, not mine.
Somebody went out, did something stupid, recorded a song about it, and was able to get a lot of streams, and that became a thing with the whole drill. They actually going out, getting active and doing stuff, and then going to the studio and make a song about what they just did. And that shit get nipped in the bud as soon as it got created. But nobody's going to these labels saying they wrong for this. We just blaming it on the kids. Putting out life insurance on these young kids now.
Wow.
The label, because they're gambling on you to do some dumb so they can profit after you die. This is getting ridiculous.
Have you ever thought about the artists that do go down for some of the things that they get in trouble with, right? By their own doing, they get in trouble, they get hot-headed, they get in a situation and act irrationally. Obviously, they share the majority if not all, the blame or the responsibility, at least, for their actions. But have you thought about how ridiculous it may look contrasting between them and the very execs that have signed them? These folks that don't look like they're from the neighborhoods. They're all dressed up. They're all professionals. And that's something that's always bothered me, because I feel like if you bring these people into a courtroom, I can see jurors, I can see judges leaning more so towards the side of the execs, because after all, they're just doing good business in this good old US of A. But shouldn't they?
I pretty much heard enough on this one. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, they're putting insurance on the artists so they can make money off of them if they die. They put the music out when they die so they can make money off of them that way. That's double dipping. Then I also heard that record labels have money invested into prisons, so they make money off them when they go to jail. What did Tribe say? Rule 4080, record companies are shady. Rule 4080, record companies are shady. When you sign with a major label, you're pretty much asking for it. I recommend everybody stay independent if possible. Try to stay independent. When you sign to the label, you're giving up a lot. You're giving up percentages. You're giving up masters, publishings, a lot. You're giving up musical freedom. You know, you're giving up a lot. So, yeah, I guess the moral of this one, how record labels are making more money off of rappers when they're dead and gone, is Rule 4080, record companies are shady. And that should be common sense and common knowledge, man. It should be common sense and common knowledge at this point, you know. And I don't really feel sorry for people who sign record deals and don't have a lawyer look over it and don't have a lawyer look behind the lawyer. You have a lawyer look over it, then you got to have a lawyer look behind the lawyer, make sure he ain't trying to get over on you. Because for all you know, he might be working with the label. Because what Tribe say? Rule 4080, record companies are shady. Once again, I'm out. Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace.